Hope that was near as much of a blessing for you to listen to as it was for the choir to sing. The power of the cross. If you have your Bible, we're going to look just for a few moments at 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 18. Just one verse we'll look at. We only have a few minutes. We want to take advantage of those few minutes. And again, we're glad that you're here on this resurrection morning. And we trust that you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. If you do, we pray that these few thoughts from the Scriptures will be an encouragement to you if you don't know Him as your Savior. We pray that these few moments together in the Word of God will be used by the Spirit of God to speak to your heart. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and we're just going to be looking this morning for a few moments at verse 18. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, the 18th verse. Listen carefully as we consider the Word of God. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. You notice the contrast there. It's all about the preaching of the cross, not just any cross, the cross of Jesus Christ, the cross we've been singing about this morning. The one who hung on that cross, he's the one we've been singing about this morning. We've been focusing our attention upon. And the preaching of that cross, the declaration, the speaking about, the words concerning this cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, it comes across in two ways. To those whom the Bible says perish or perishing, it is foolishness to them. But to those who are saved, those who have been rescued from perishing, it is the power of God. To those who are perishing, it's foolishness. That's foolish that my mistakes in my life would be labeled sin. I'm not a murderer. Surely my mistakes, my errors, wouldn't be categorized as iniquity and transgression, but the power of God in the preaching of the cross reveals that my sin and your sin and the sin of the whole world is deeper than we can ever imagine, is uglier than we could ever comprehend. And the preaching of the cross in its power convicts us of disobeying God and who we are, and what we do, and what we think, and the things that we say. Those who were perishing would say, you know, it's nonsensical that the punishment for sin would be eternal spiritual separation from God in hell, the lake of fire. That seems nonsensical, but the power of God in the preaching of the cross evidences the perfect holiness of God who made us. The one who created us cannot even look upon sin. He is so pure. He is so holy. He is so righteous. Those who are perishing would say it's absurd to think that God would become human, and even more absurd to think that if He did, He would continue while being human to also be God. But to those who were saved, the power of the cross proclaimed, declares to us the deity of Jesus Christ, that the Son of God became the Son of Man. Those who were perishing, to them it would be ridiculous that God would actually plan for His own Son not only to come to the earth, but then to die. To die the death of a criminal, that would be considered ridiculous. But to those who were saved, to those who know the power of God, the preaching of the cross humbles us with the infinite wisdom of God that this was the only way. And only God could plan such a plan. To those who are perishing, to those who do not know the Lord Jesus, it is ludicrous to think that Jesus would know that he is going to be crucified and yet not try to avoid it. But to those who know the Lord Jesus, the preaching of the cross is powerful. Because the preaching of the cross of Jesus Christ in its power draws us with the love of the Son of God. That he would love us and give himself for us. That he would say, Father, I came here for this hour, this very purpose. To those who were perishing, it would be considered laughable that the death of one man could satisfy God's righteous anger against the sin of the whole world. But for those who were saved, the preaching of the cross is powerful because it explains how God can forgive me in spite of my sin, in spite of who I am, in spite of what I've done, in spite of the evilness of my motives that oftentimes in my life. This explains to me how God can forgive me, how God can declare me right before him, and yet he continues to be right in knowing that I'm a sinner and yet declaring me right because his son died for me. He took my place on Calvary. The death of that one man was not just the death of one man. It was the death of the God-man. It was the death of the one who never sinned. It's the death of the one who is perfect. It's the shedding of the blood of the one who knew no sin, who did no sin. In him was no sin. He is God in the flesh. But to those who are perishing, it's preposterous. To listen to the preaching of the cross and to hear that my good deeds don't impress God, and that my good works don't get me any closer to God, that's preposterous. But to those who were saved, the preaching of the cross in all of its power shows me that God's grace is essential for my salvation. That there is no hope for me apart from God's gift. From God saying, you don't deserve to go to heaven. You don't deserve to be forgiven. You don't deserve to have a relationship with me. But in my grace, I'm going to give you what you don't deserve. That's the power of the cross of Christ. To those who are perishing, it's unreasonable that Jesus of Nazareth, after 3 days and 3 nights in a grave, would rise from the dead. But to those who were saved, the preaching of the cross is the power of God because it convinces me of the truthfulness of who this one was. He's the Son of God, and yes, he did rise from the grave, and yes, he was seen by more than 500 witnesses after he rose from the grave. It convinces me of its truthfulness. That's the power of the cross being preached. To those who are perishing is foolishness. That the death of a Jewish preacher 2,000 years ago could have any relevance for my life today, but oh, that's the power of the cross. The cross of Jesus Christ, as it's proclaimed, those who were saved realize this is my invitation. That was my invitation to receive the Lord Jesus as my Savior today. Yes, those things that happened of the crucifixion. Yes, that event of the resurrection, historical facts 2,000 years ago, but they have just as much impact in my life as they did in the lives of John and Peter and James and Paul. To those who were perishing, it's absurd that God's willingness and ability to forgive me are based solely on the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. But to those who were saved, the power of God is presented in the preaching of the cross because there it's presented that it's through the cross that God can save the sinner who believes him and trusts his Son Jesus Christ alone as Savior. To those who are perishing, it's ludicrous to think that my needs and desires for peace and hope and joy and meaning in life can be met and fulfilled in this man, the Lord Jesus. But to those who were saved, The preaching of the cross is powerful because we realize it has changed our lives. It has infused our very beings with peace with God, with hope for eternity, the confident expectation of being with the Lord Jesus. It has given us joy and strength and meaning. To those who are perishing, it seems so far-fetched that there could be only one way to God, that the other ways aren't valid, but to those who are saved, the preaching of the cross is the power of God, because the presentation of the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who died and was buried and rose again, taking my punishment for my sin, that persuades me that He alone is the way and the truth and the life. To those who are perishing, it's foolishness. It's foolishness that by an act of faith, by receiving this one, the Son of God, as my Savior, that I am made a new creation in Christ. But to those who were saved, the preaching of the cross is the power of God, because we know that by grace we are saved through faith. And it's not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. What must I do to be saved? The question comes out. The answer is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to those who were saved, it makes perfect sense. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Maybe you're here this morning and you've never received the Lord Jesus as your Savior. Maybe some of these things we've said about the cross have in the past seemed foolishness to you. Maybe some of them even now you're struggling with. But the Spirit of God is convicting you. As you hear those words, the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Maybe you're sensing the power of God convicting you right now of your own sin, holding up before you the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, in all of His glory and all of His beauty, that He is the substitute that took the punishment for you. He is the sacrifice that God accepted. And maybe this morning, as you have listened to the music and you've heard the words of the songs and now you've heard the Scripture in brevity presented, your heart has been touched. The jailer in Philippi, in the book of Acts, heard two men singing praises to God and praying. And when that jail was opened up by an earthquake and he was afraid that all of the prisoners would leave, and none of them did, he came in and his heart had been prepared by what he had heard. And his heart was pricked because of his own sin, and he knew he didn't deserve to be right before God. But he came and he asked that question, what must I do to be saved? Maybe your heart's been prepared this morning and you've heard the Scripture and you're saying, what must I do to be saved? The answer comes clearly from God. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. I'm going to ask you to bow your head. If you don't know the Lord Jesus as your Savior and you want to be saved, you want to be forgiven of your sins, you want to know you're going to heaven, you want to know that your life has a purpose, that you're living for God and not for you, if you want to know that that separation between you and God has been totally removed through the Lord Jesus Christ, if you want to have the peace of knowing that you are right with God, then right where you're sitting, you can tell God that you know you're a sinner. You know you're separated from Him and you deserve the lake of fire forever. You know there's nothing that you can do to change any of that. But you believe that His Son died for your sins and was buried and rose again. And you receive Him as your Savior. You trust Him alone for eternal life. And you want God to save you and change you. And He promises to do that. The Lord Jesus said, no one who comes to me will I ever turn away. We'd love to talk with you after the meeting. I'll be down front. I'd be glad to talk with you. Many others here. If you know the Lord as your Savior, may you rejoice in the risen Lord. If you don't know Him, may He become your Savior today. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. Dear Lord, we thank You for our time of celebration this morning. thinking of the Lord Jesus, that one who came willingly, took upon himself a human body prepared just for him, lived as a servant, lived a perfect life, went to the cross of Calvary as he had predicted, died there for our sins. Father, you punished him for what we would do and be. But then you raised him from the dead because he had said it is finished and he had done the work that was to be done. And you received his sacrifice, his blood that was shed. You said that is acceptable, the only acceptable sacrifice that will ever atone for the sins of anyone. You accepted that from your son and you raised him from the dead. And now he's there in heaven at your right hand and he offers himself to all who will receive him. Father, I pray for any here this morning who have never received him, that this morning might be the morning. Today is the day of salvation, that they would trust him as Savior today. Father, for those of us who know you personally through him, we pray for those who do not, and we rejoice in our salvation. Oh Lord, it's not of us. It's all of your Son, the Lord Jesus, that glorious one who was crucified for us and rose again the third day, and we pray in his precious name. Amen.